Today we're in Lesson 17. We'll be in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 1 through 12. Really, he's dealing with the despair of death. Because it's a despair to him because the same thing happens to everyone, whether you were good, bad, or ugly. So in verses 1 through 6, let's read these. "For I considered all this in my heart, so that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them. All things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath as he who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun." We might say, wow, after that. With his under the sun premise excluding any sense of eternity or accountability in the life to come, man can know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them. You know, creation can tell us God is, God exists, but it doesn't tell us very well that God loves us. We believers do not view life from an under-the-sun perspective. We can say that we should not measure God's love by what happens in life. We measure God's love by what Jesus did on the cross. And the preacher here has once again allowed his thoughts of God's sovereign power, when he's talking about the hand of God, to develop into fatalism. All things come alike to all. The thought process may go like this. I know God rules over all things. Then it seems that the same thing happens to all. All die without real meaning revealed for their life. And finally, that all-powerful God means it to be this way. It's what God intends. This develops Solomon's idea that all share the destiny in this meaningless life of ours. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked. This is certainly how things appeared to Solomon in his under-the-sun premise. Speaking from his premise, the preacher says that all have the same fate, but he does not like it. It's wrong that one event happens to the righteous and the wicked. And he says, for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. Well, this makes perfect sense from an under-the-sun perspective. This is what he's saying. If all existence and consciousness, easy for me to say, ends with death, then the only thing that matters is this present life, and therefore nothing really matters. The dead know nothing, he says. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. So with great poetic effect, Solomon puts forth the belief that all existence and consciousness end with this life. Verses 7 through 10, he says this, "Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity. For that's your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. With Solomon's view of life and death, verses 1 through 6, joy is only found in the moment. And that's what he's talking about in verses 7 through 10. So from outside of his under the sun premise, with, you know, us looking in, we see a touch of humor really in the preacher's analysis. Life is utterly meaningless, and our common death and destiny prove it to be so. So forget about all I've said, really, is what Solomon's saying, and just have a good time. It's small hope given to despairing men and women, but it's the best that he can do after he has evaluated everything from every angle. Given the recent emphasis on the sovereign power of God in chapter 7 and chapter 9, verse 1, we sense both fatalism and wishing in this statement. Perhaps the sense is, God has already accepted your works, I hope, because if he hasn't, there's nothing you can do about it. Clearly, Solomon knew that enjoying the good things at hand in this life, you know, bread, wine, garments, comforts, the wife whom you love, none of these took away the meaninglessness of life, but they make your vain life a little better. That's what he's counseling here. Whatever your hand finds to do, he says, do it with your might. The preacher continued to give advice meant to make the best of any bad situation of life under the sun. You know, in the 60s, some of you might remember this, there was a beer commercial where the announcer said something like this: you only go around once in life, so you've got to grab for all the gusto you can. Well, the ad writers for that ad could well have properly given credit to Solomon for the idea. We can apply the attitude reflected in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, to our present service for God and do it with your might. No man ever served God by doing things tomorrow. Man was not created to be idle. He was not elected to be idle. He was not redeemed to be idle. He was not quickened to be idle. And he is not sanctified by God's grace to be idle. This was a quote from Spurgeon. In verses 11 through 12, he goes on now to talk about time and chance make life under the sun hard to understand. He says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Solomon wondered, if this life is all there is, then why doesn't this life make more sense? In a world that made more sense under the sun, then the swift would always win the race and the strong would always win the battle. But it doesn't always work that way. And he says, but time and chance happen to them all. The preacher, again, struggles against a sense of fatalism. In his somewhat contradictory way, the one who previously proclaimed God's management of all in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 13, and chapter 9, verse 1, he now wonders if it didn't happen all according to time and chance. Now, time and chance are paired together, no doubt, because They both have a way of taking matters suddenly out of our hands. From his under-the-sun perspective, it seemed that man was more subject to the whims of time and chance than of a loving, all-powerful God. So his conclusion really in this portion of Ecclesiastes is the best way to live under the sun in light of death is to live life and make the best of every bad thing. We believers don't depend on such things as luck or chance because our confidence is in the loving providence of God. A dedicated Christian doesn't carry a rabbit's foot or trust in luck or days or numbers. Christians trust God to guide us and help us make decisions, and we believe that His will is the best. We leave time and chance in His capable hands. You can download the notes for today's lesson at naomistable.com.